County cricket, international cricket, test cricket, franchise cricket, red ball, white ball, 100-ball cricket. At The Cricketer, we care about the cricket you love. And that's why we've launched a brand new app built for fans of the English game. Download The Cricketer app and sign up to our Access All Areas Pass to receive agenda-setting journalism and illuminating storytelling straight to your phone. The latest news from the England camps, a dedicated daily service for fans of the 18 first-class counties, and committed coverage of women's cricket. Download the app today and enjoy 1 month of free unlimited access. The Cricketer. We care about the cricket you love.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and rejoining me on my left for today's special episode of TCCP is none other than our favourite analyst here at the County Cricket Podcast, Mr. James Thompson. So, Tomo, first things first, mate, it's an absolute pleasure to get you back on the podcast. It's been a bit of a while, hasn't it, actually? Come to think about it, I think the last time we had you on the show was mid-2021. So it has been a while, Tomo, but great to have you back. I have to ask, mate, how has your day been so far?
Yeah, thanks for having me back, mate. It's always nice to be back. Yeah, it's been all right. Been super busy. Been involved in loads of meetings and telephone calls this morning. But yeah, finally found some time to catch up with you, mate. Yeah, should be good fun.
It should indeed, Tomo. It should indeed. And obviously, just for you guys as the listeners out there, today, this is part two of our 2022 Liverpool Victoria County Championship preview show. So in the first episode, we covered the first five teams of this year's Division One sides. In this episode, we're covering Northants, Somerset, Surrey, Warwickshire and Yorkshire. So without further ado then, Tomo, I say we get into the main content of today's show, which is, of course, the previews. And we'll start in Midlands at Wantage Road with Northamptonshire County Cricket Club, a side which initially got promoted in third place in Division 2 of the 2019 County Championship, with the likes of David Ripley as the coach and, of course, Alex Wakeley as the skipper. 2022, very much a new-look side. Brand new captain in Ricardo Vasconcelos, as well as a brand new head coach in the form of John Sadler. And in terms of the transfers, it's not been the busiest of off-seasons, to be honest, at Wantage Road, but they have made some pretty notable changes to the squad heading into this year's championship. Starting with some transfers into the club, we have got New Zealand top-order batter Will Young. We've got Kiwi all-rounder Jimmy Neesham. He's in for just one game this summer for the Steelbacks. He's coming in for the game against Warwickshire at Wantage Road. And third and finally, we've got Western Australia seamer Matthew Kelly. In terms of players leaving the club, again, been a bit quiet though. Only one notable omission from this year's Northamptonshire side, which is Richard Levy, who was released at the end of last season. So, Tomo, on paper, of course, 2021, let's be honest, was a bit of a mixed campaign for Northants, all things considered. Yes, they made Division 2, but a very inconsistent campaign for the East Midlands outfit. How do you see the Steelbacks' chances in this year's championship heading into 2022?
Yeah, they actually look pretty strong. I mean, I've just had a little scroll through there. Through their squad list just before coming on, and you know, it seems like they've got all bases covered. You know, especially the overseas signings. So, you know, if you look historically over the past few seasons and how Northants have gone in Red Bull cricket, I'd say probably top order batting and top order runs has been where they've struggled or lacked consistency. So, obviously, signing Will Young, who's an amazing top order batter. He scored a brilliant 100 for Durham against Warwickshire last season. Like a very, very good 100. You know, if he opens up with Ben Curran, who did show some signs of scoring good top-order runs last season, they could have a very strong campaign.
They could indeed, Tomo. And actually, talking of one more transfer, aside from Will Young, and obviously as a Bears fan, I remember that knock quite vividly. It was an excellent knock. And to be honest, he had a very good campaign for Durham in those four matches in which he appeared. But there has actually been another transfer today as we speak on this episode. Lewis McManus, the Hampshire wicketkeeper batter has come in on a four-week loan as a bit of a replacement for Adam Rossington. Now, as of this recording, we don't know what the situation surrounding Adam Rossington is, but according to the club, literally on their club website, it says that Adam Rossington is unavailable for selection for the time being. So, again, Northants fans, we don't have any more further updates or info about that, unfortunately, but obviously when we do, we'll let you know either on the Twitter or, of course, here on the podcast. But in terms of the strengths and weaknesses of this side then, Tomo, you mentioned their top order batting, and obviously with the new captain, Ricardo Vasconcelos, a man who last season scored 845 runs at 36.73. He is going to be an absolutely integral member of this side, and of course has now got the captaincy as well on top of that. How do you assess the Steelbacks' chances heading into this year's championship, and what are their real strengths and weaknesses heading into this year's tournament?
Yeah, so like as I mentioned, that sort of top order runs and consistency has been a real downfall of theirs. But I think now sort of heading into this season, like I think their batting core is going to be their main strength, really. Obviously they've signed Matt Kelly as a bowling option, but I don't see how they're going to be able to consistently take 20 wickets with that bowling attack. Obviously, they've got a lot of bowlers that can contain, and they're going to be able to create wickets through creating pressure and holding lines and lengths. But you look at sort of the Notts bowling attack, for example. They've got strike bowlers, Dane Patterson, James Pattinson and Stuart Broad in the first few championship games, who are really strike bowlers. You know what I mean? They might go for a few more runs, but generally their strike rates are a little bit lower. Whereas Northants are the other way around. They've got a lot more line and length bowlers that will just hit that same area, but might not necessarily get that breakthrough.
Well, I know exactly what you mean there, Tomo, to be honest. But with that being said, Northants do have one not-so-secret weapon. And that is, of course, Ben Sanderson, a guy who, in my opinion, goes far too much under the radar in the wider county circuit. The guy has a first-class career average of 20.89 with the ball in hand. That is absolutely ludicrous. And last summer, he was the club's leading wicket taker with 43 wickets at 26.86. So if Sando can provide those breakthroughs along with those containment bowlers, the likes of Gareth Bergh and a Tom Taylor, I think the Northants Steelbacks could actually potentially fancy their chances in quite a few games. You know,
if they can find Sanderson as that strike bowler and pair him up with the containment, you've got Safe Save who can bowl left on spin and goes at a superb economy. And, you know, if he can tie up an end and you're able to rotate your seamers from the other, it's the makings of a very successful first-class side.
Most certainly is, Tomo. Most certainly is. But in terms of the players to watch out for, then, this might be a tough question because we mentioned quite a few names there. And actually, I will just mention Matt Kelly as well because some people aren't actually too familiar with him. Western Australian seam bowler, and he is very much a typical Aussie seamer. So he hits a hard length, very much seam-up deliveries as opposed to utilising swing to his disposal. But he is quite a good bowler. And again, his first-class career average is around about 28, I believe, with the ball for WA. So, again, Northants fans, an interesting selection, to be honest. I think, again, many people quite surprised to see him in the circuit this season. But as an enforcer, as someone who can hit those hard lengths and bowl those short deliveries, I think Matt Kelly could just offer something a bit different to Northants in this year's county championship. But, Tomo, who would you say then, for Northants fans, who's the one player that you've got your eyes on heading into this year's tournament? Who should we be watching out for?
Overseas, it'd probably be Will Young. I think he's your absolute banker for, scoring top order runs. And I guess as coming over to England as an overseas player, the hardest time to bat is early season, April, May wickets. The ball swings around and it does quite a bit, obviously. But, he scored 100 against Liam Norwell, Oliver Hammond-Olby. I don't think Ollie Stone was playing, actually. But, he scored a good 100 against a couple of top quality seamers in Durham in April. So you know he can bat in English conditions. If you're not talking overseas, I think Ben Curran has got massive potential to have a big year. You know, the glimpses of form that he showed in the COVID season and last year, or obviously Ben Sanderson.
Yeah, to be honest, I've got to go Ben Sanderson. I have to go with Sanderson. I think he's great. Honestly, as I said, deserves far more recognition on that wider scale. How he's not been in an England Lions squad, I will never know. But Ben Sanderson, he would be my player to watch out for. And imagine for Northants fans, you'll be hoping that Sando has yet another fantastic season for the East Midlands County in 2022. But Tomo, from the East Midlands, let's take a bit of a trip across the country, quite literally, to the southwest, to the West Country county of Somerset, or Zummerzet, as they know it down in the county themselves. In terms of the squad, again, not too many transfers. In 2022, Peter Siddle has come in from Essex, which I personally think is quite a good piece of business for Somerset, offers something completely different to that seam attack. And they've also brought in Matt Renshaw. Now, again, talking of news which is happening on the day of this recording, Matt Renshaw has actually been flown out to Pakistan. Josh Inglis is out of the Pakistan-Australia ODI series. Matt Renshaw has been flown across to Pakistan as a replacement. I don't know how that's going to affect his availability, but it may mean that Renshaw isn't available for the opening game of the summer. So that's something to watch out for, Somerset fans, heading into the season opener. In terms of transfers out of the club as well, only the one major one, and that is Eddie Byram. He has made the move to Glamorgan, heading into this year's championship. Tomo, before this recording, I spoke to you about Somerset as a club, and you said you had quite a lot to say about them heading into this year's championship. So how do you assess their chances heading into this year's tournament? Do you think that Somerset can finally break that county championship curse?
I thought they were going to do it last year, to be honest, and then we got into the you know that final round of fixtures, and unfortunately they couldn't quite back up their form they found in the early part of the season. But I actually think Somerset are a very very dangerous Red Bull team. They're definitely in the top few Red Bull sides in the country, and you know the sort of the only. You mentioned Eddie Byron going to Glamorgan, that Azhar Ali's also gone to Worcestershire. So they haven't got their normal overseas number three. Although obviously that they would have replaced him with Matt Renshaw, which wouldn't be a bad replacement, but unfortunately he's now been flown out to Pakistan. So I think they need to find a number three. That you know their opening pair that they had last season in Tom Lamonby and Ben Green actually started to flow quite nicely. And that final championship game of the year at Edgbaston last year, we struggled to find that first breakthrough until Danny Briggs got Tom Lamonby edging to Brez at first slip. So if they continue to open the batting, they must have put some work in through the winter. Lamonby and Green could be a very solid opening partnership for Somerset. And you know I'm going to say it again: top order runs is such a crucial part of winning Red Bull cricket and winning long format cricket. So if they can find someone to bat at number three and back up what Green and Lamonby do at the top of the order, especially with the likes of Abel and Goldsworthy coming in down the order, then they've got as good a chance as any of going on and winning the championship.
They have indeed. And to be honest, we've seemed to say this every single year with Somerset. Although it hasn't quite panned out towards the end of the season, they're always up there and in the mix, aren't they? They're a tremendously, tremendously good squad with lots of star talent and excellent calibre players within that lineup. But in terms of the weaknesses, Tomo, and I'd like to know your thoughts on this, actually, from an analyst point of view, in terms of that curse with Somerset, the fact that this club, a great, prestigious organisation, has not lifted the county championship in its entire history, do you think that does play on their mind? You know, when they are out there and maybe they're losing these close games and they're having these close finishes against the likes of Warwickshire, against the likes of Essex in 2019. Do you think that's actually been plaguing the club in recent years, or do you think that that hasn't been a factor? What are your thoughts on that whole situation down in the southwest?
Obviously, when you play against the county, you look for an obvious weak link or for an obvious instant win, if you like, in terms of the mental game. So as soon as you're playing a Red Bull game of cricket, that's such an easy instant win. I'm not talking about sledging here or like trying to gain an unfair advantage, because obviously that's unfair. But you know, cricket's a game now where you don't say nothing out on the field. You know what I mean? So there's such an easy instant win to be had there, you know, by just, you know, reminding Somerset players that actually, you know what, you haven't won a title here yet. So having that instant win, I think it definitely would play on your mind. And you know, the past two or three seasons, they've had opportunities to go on and win a Red Bull title, but have failed to do so. So look, they're a great side. It's difficult to find a standout weakness, I'd say. That you know, that core batting unit looks really, really strong, and even batters that don't play every game that could come in and replace that core set of batters, you know, the likes of Lewis Gregory and those sorts of guys that come in. You know, Gregory scored a great 80 odd, I think it was, in that Warwickshire Somerset final game. So they've got plenty of capable batters, plenty of capable bowlers. I do think it could be Somerset's year.
We'll have to wait and see, won't we, Tomo? We'll have to wait and see. I'm going to be honest. I do have a lot of sympathy for Somerset fans, because you think of the players who have played for this great club over the years, and yet somehow, and it is somehow, because I can't explain it, this club just hasn't been able to lift the championship. There's always something which seems to come in the way between Somerset and that taste of glory. But again, in 2022, Somerset fans, even though, as you'll be well aware, I am a Bears fan, deep down, I will just be hoping for a little bit for a Somerset victory, just slightly, ever so slightly, because the fans deserve it. They are excellent fans as well. And they do turn out in their droves at the Cooper Associates County ground. And Tomo, you mentioned there about Tom Abel, who, as we all know, one of the finest players in county cricket. Many people would argue that he should be playing for England. And to be honest, maybe I might be one of them at some point. But do you think he's the real player to watch out for this summer? Or do you think that somebody else in that Somerset squad will really take people's eye heading into this year's tournament?
Yeah, no, he's one of the finest players in county cricket. He's also one of the finest blokes. He's a great guy to be around, Tom. His enthusiasm for the game and the way he thinks about things and the way he goes about it, it's just a testament to him as a character, really. He's a superb all-rounder. He's a great leader on the field. And I've got absolutely no doubt that Tom will have every success this year. He had a great campaign in the early summer last year. Unfortunately, struggled to kickstart that in that latter end of the championship last season. But you know, I really do think it's going to be Somerset and Tom's year. His bowling has gone from strength to strength over the last few seasons, which just adds him to how valuable he is in that Somerset side. I genuinely believe he's one of the best batsmen against spin in England. You know, if you look at, I know it's white ball cricket, but it's still very, very apt in this conversation. If you remember finals day last season, that shot he played against Liam Dawson for six over extra covers, one of the best shots I've ever seen against a left-arm spinner. So the way he can play spin and bat in that middle order and sort of dominate that middle order, I think Tom's got a huge role to play, and he's definitely the player to watch.
Same here, Tomo. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's just got the nostalgia flooding back from me. I was there for finals day. So yeah, I do remember that shot. That's absolutely fantastic. And you mentioned about spin in particular. Aside from his batting as well, his captaincy with the likes of Jack Leach and Lewis Goldsworthy is absolutely second to none. So Tom Abel, again, it will be a big summer for him, both in a captaincy regard and, of course, with the bat in hand. And yeah, just to reinforce and echo that message, just wishing Somerset all the best of luck. They've had some rotten luck in the past few years. A lot of near misses, a lot of close chances. But who knows, Somerset fans, maybe 2022, after all of these years of hurt and heartbreak, might be the year that things finally change. But Tomo, moving from the West Country then, let's go to South London. Let's go to the Brown Caps of Surrey County Cricket Club. Now, in terms of transfers, Surrey, to be fair to them, have had quite a busy off-season. So in terms of players coming into the club, they've got Cam Steele from Durham. He was on loan at the club last summer. He's now made the move permanent. Chris Jordan has come back to Surrey from Sussex, which is a massive, massive deal, in particular for white ball cricket. And Frankie Worrell has made the switch from Gloucestershire to Surrey heading into the 2022 summer. In terms of outgoings, as well for the Brown Caps, some pretty big ones, it has to be said. Mark Stoneman making the switch from the Brown Caps to the Saxes. He has moved to Middlesex County Cricket Club ahead of this summer's county championship. They had a few releases as well, with the likes of Liam Plunkett and Jade Dernbach being released from their contracts. And club veterans Ricky Clark and Gareth Batty have now unfortunately retired. So Tomo, again, on this similar theme which has been recurring throughout the podcast, Surrey, an interesting side which are obviously characterised and identified by all of that star talents and international quality players. How do you assess their chances heading into this summer? Because they had a bit of a mixed campaign in 2021.
People are going to get upset with me, aren't they, if I keep saying this club's got a great chance of winning the championship. But they have.
They do, yeah.
They have. If they've got full availability and stay injury free, which is difficult in modern cricket when you play 5,000,000 games every summer. But if they do stay pretty injury free, they've got a good shout. Rory Burns obviously hasn't been on this England tour, but may well play again for England at some point in the summer. But he's going to have a massive role to play. You know, he's going to be county championship captain, and he'll probably play more championship games this season than he did last year because he's going to be wanting to get back in that England setup. So he's not going to be back in the England side straight away. So he'll be playing more county championship cricket. So Surrey have got their opening batsman who's been tried and tested and has got test match hundreds.
He's got a couple.
Yeah, I thought he had. I actually think an exciting player, really. You've got all those big names. I think Will Jacks, who's obviously whacking it in white ball cricket, whacked it in the Bangladesh Premier League for Chattagram Challengers.
I knew you'd get that in there.
But he's not gone to the IPL, so we can play red ball cricket. And actually, part of the way Will goes about it is he's trained super hard and he's always practicing getting into good positions. So I've got no doubt that Will will do super well in red ball cricket as well. He's a fabulous player of spin. So I actually think with Will Jacks batting at 5 or 6, Surrey have got a good shout there.
They have indeed. And obviously we can mention those star names, the likes of Burns, Hashim Amla as well. Just to read out his stats from last summer, 994 runs at 58.47. Hashim Amla is absolutely legendary. Cannot wait to see him back in action in this year's championship. But you've got those two at the top. You've got Ollie Pope coming back, who, as we all know, averages well over 60 in county cricket. And then you've got the likes of Folks and Curran as well. It's a ridiculously strong squad on paper.
Curran's,
yeah, fair enough. Tom and Sam. Although, is Sam coming back from injury? I think he may be fit, I think, for the first game of the season against Warwickshire.
Might be right.
Oh, that's typical, isn't it? He's fit for the one game of the season where we're playing against them. But obviously, aside from those star players as well, the thing which impresses me about this Surrey outfit from a batting perspective are the backups. Will Jacks, great shout, but they've also got Ryan Patel, really, really impressive top order option. And then Jamie Smith, who's one of the hottest commodities in county cricket right now across formats. Great, great wicketkeeper batter, to say the least. My issue with Surrey, though, and this is going to sound really strange, considering they've got the likes of Kemar Roach and Chris Jordan and Frankie Worrell, I think their bowling attack might actually play against them in this year's championship. And I do have a reason for saying that. Last year in 2021, Surrey as a bowling unit took 164 wickets with a team average of 33.32. That was the least amount of wickets taken by any county championship attack in 2021. I do have to preface that by saying, of course, they do play at the Oval. Very, very flat, very much a batting paradise. But this team needs to make more consistent breakthroughs. And when your leading wicket taker is Jordan Clark, and he's taken his wickets at 28.25, but he's only taken 32 wickets, it does suggest to me that this bowling attack needs to step up more in 2022. They have got some very, very stiff opposition in this year's championship. We've already alluded to the likes of Somerset. We'll talk about Warwickshire. The likes of Lancashire as well are going to be tremendously, tremendously difficult to break down. Do you see that as their Achilles heel as well, Tomo? Or do you see it being something different? What do you think could be an underlying weakness of this Brown Caps outfit heading into this year's championship?
Yeah, I think you make an interesting point, Aaron, actually. It's a very, very well-made point. But I personally, for me, I don't think it's personnel-related. It's definitely not for talent or for ability. So, obviously, Surrey have got a slight restructure of their coaching staff this year with obviously Vikram going over to Lucknow. So, Gareth Batty's obviously their interim head coach. So, obviously, Batty's been around the environment as a player, but I think as a coach, you have more of an impact and more of a directive, and you're able to influence players a little bit more than just as when you're a senior player. So I would actually say that this bowling attack might come back stronger this year. Those issues will probably have been highlighted by Nat, their analyst. So be prepared for Surrey to come out fighting.
I do expect that as well, to be honest. And obviously with the likes of the Currans coming back as well, massive, massive bonus. But we've spoken there mostly about seam bowlers. But Surrey also have two of the most exciting young spin bowlers in the entire circuit right now, in Amar Verdi and Dan Moriarty. Again, it does come back onto that theme. It's not for lack of talent. This bowling attack is absolutely stacked in terms of talent. But just as a unit, for some reason or another, and it could have been the pitch at the Oval, for example, that could well be a factor, but they just didn't gel in 2021. With the reintroduction of Kemar Roach, you've got the entire season of Frankie Worrell, you've got the likes of Rhys Topley coming back and playing first-class cricket. I do fancy their chances. And again, we're going to say that a lot throughout both of these preview shows, but Surrey, if they can retain those star players and they're not playing for England, and if the rest of that team can stay fit and healthy for the entirety of this summer, that is a seriously, seriously strong squad at the Brown Caps' disposal. And Tomo, again, a very tough question. I admit this. But player to watch out for, who on earth are you going to select from a Surrey perspective?
Oh, good question. Because there's so many from Surrey. Overseas, you'd probably have, it's Hashim, isn't it? I remember a time we were, last season during the championship, we were off for rain at Warwickshire. And we were just sat in the dressing room watching Hampshire. Was it Hampshire? Surrey were playing someone. And
it was Hampshire.
And he was literally five not out from about 140 balls. That takes some temperament, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wowee. He's got such a strong mind for red ball batting. So I think he's going to be the main man. I think in terms of local players to watch out for, I think it's either going to be Rory Burns or Will Jacks. Obviously Rory Burns has got a point to prove, and he'll be wanting to play this championship and say, look, hey, I actually am the best opener in England. You should have picked me. So I wouldn't be surprised if Rory comes out and makes some big runs.
Well, fingers crossed for the Surrey faithful that that will be the case, of course. Obviously a massive fan favourite down in South London, and rightfully so. He's been absolutely outstanding for Surrey. Over the years, again, it hasn't quite worked out for England, but he is an excellent player, isn't he?
He is. Just hopefully not in game one against the Bears, eh?
Yeah, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Yeah, honestly, I'm obviously very excited about that. I do think it's got the prospects of a very, very good game. But at the same time, I'm just looking at that Surrey 11 and I'm thinking, wow, we have definitely got quite a tough game on our hands heading into game one of this year's championship. And actually, talking of Surrey's opposition, Tomo, what a beautiful setup that is. That's like a half tracker to me against spin. And I'm absolutely going to dispatch it right now here on the podcast because we can talk about Warwickshire. And I say we. For the first time, listeners, I might actually take a bit of a back seat here because, Tomo, of course, you used to work for the club and you'll know a lot more about this than I do. But heading into 2022, the Bears have made some very, very interesting acquisitions with, first and foremost, the big one, Alex Davis. What a fantastic signing that is. I cannot complain about that at all, to be honest. Really, really, really happy about that. My Lancashian co-host, not so much. Alex Davis was one of his favourite players, so I don't think Joe was too happy about that. But obviously, as the resident Bears fan, absolutely elated. And in terms of outgoings from the club, we have lost Alex Thompson to Derbyshire and Ed Pollock to Worcestershire. Tomo, I never thought I'd be saying this at the start of 2021, but here we are, fast forwarding a year later. The defending champions, Warwickshire County Cricket Club. It's a lovely name tag. It's one which, again, I will be making a point of repeating here on the podcast until at least the end of this summer. But how do you assess Warwickshire's chances heading into this year's championship after an incredible year in 2021, a year which not many people would have expected to pan out the way in which it did? How do you think the Bears will cope with that name tag of reigning county champions?
I think, signing Al from Lancashire was probably, do I say signing of the winter?
It's up there, isn't it? It's up there. It's up there. It is.
It's really, really good. Because I think one of Warwickshire's main concerns, even throughout last season, was with top order runs again. They're so hard to come by and they're hard to come by consistently. Obviously last season we had Rob Yates, who did a superb job for us opening the batting alongside Dom Sibley, but however good a player is, that, you know, they're not going to score runs every time they walk out to bat. Unfortunately, that's just the way the game of cricket works. But you know, if you add into that top three Alex Davis, alongside, you know, there's so many top three potential options now for Warwickshire. It's really, really good. You know, we've seen Will Rhodes bat in the top three. We've seen him bat at 1, 2, and 3 when he's played for Warwickshire. Chris Benjamin obviously came in at the back end of last year and made his debut and got 100 batting at 3. So there's plenty of options for people to bat in the top three in Red Bull cricket. I just think we need to get Chris Benjamin thinking it's his debut every game and it'll be all right. There's plenty of options for Warwickshire in that top order. Obviously, we saw Will Rhodes batting at 5 towards the back end of last season. I thought Will perform that role very well, especially in that Somerset game, batting at 5, giving us some quick runs with Matt Lamb at the end. And obviously, you know, Matt Lamb has gone from playing quite a lot of cricket last year, who might be the person to be left out this season, unfortunately. But I actually think that Warwickshire batting unit has gone from a slight area of concern to quite a strength of Warwickshire's now. And couple that with that bowling attack of when Ollie Stone's fit alongside Ollie Hannon-Dalby, Henry Brooks is back fit again, as well as Liam Norwell. Add in Danny Briggs and, you know, potentially Jacob Bethel, who made his debut last season. There's plenty of options for Warwickshire to play around with.
There are indeed, Tomo. And my goodness, how happy does that make me feel as a Bears fan? Because we had a tough championship in 2019. It was an absolute struggle. So many injuries. We had an entirely new bowling attack, basically, game by game in that season. And to enter 2022 as county champions, yeah, it's a good feeling. But again, as I've spoken to a lot of these players, that feeling has almost gone out the window now. It's very much all focus on retaining that trophy heading into this year's campaign. And the Bears definitely have got the bowling and the batting capabilities to do exactly that. You mentioned the strength of that top order. Incredible. But for me, I think it is our seam attack. Liam Norwell, Craig Miles, Chris Wokes, the Wizard. If we get him back for a couple of games, absolutely fantastic. Can't wait to see him back at the Fortress. Ollie Stone, with that extra degree of pace. You got Danny Briggs providing so much control with his left arm finger spin. And even the backup options. You know, the likes of George Garrett, really good swing bowler. Manraj Jahal, great young seamer, as we saw in the Bob Willis Trophy final.
Yeah, there's some other names that I forgot to... I didn't even mention Milo. You know, I straight away just went to Brooks, Hannon Dolby and Norwell. So there's going to be some decisions had to be made somewhere. Does Henry Brooks come straight back in? Obviously, he's got a decent first-class record. Struggled with injury last season. But, you know, Craig went really, really well last season and showcased his skills on Sky in the Bob Willis game. So, yeah, I don't envy Robbo, Frosty and Matt Mason.
Neither do I. That's going to be a tremendously, tremendously difficult task. But to be honest, any combination, I think you're absolutely sorted. To be honest, from a Warwick perspective, in terms of weaknesses, I've got to be honest, Tomo, I've done some digging. I've been looking at the stats from last summer and I did find a potential area of weakness.
Go on, what have you found?
Batting collapses when it came to Warwickshire. We saw it firsthand against Durham, for example. We got bowled out for, was it 96? I believe in the first innings at the Riverside and then Hampshire last summer as well. In that crazy day one where 20 wickets fell across the two sides. In 7 of Warwickshire's 23 completed innings in 2021, the side were dismissed for less than 200 runs. And over the course of the entire season, the Bears didn't accumulate a single 400-plus run total. Could that be a potential issue heading into this summer?
You've been reading my end-of-season report, Aaron.
I've been looking at Crick Info. Been doing a lot of digging.
No, you are right. And, you know, one of the things... one of the things we potentially struggled with a little bit last year was if we lost a wicket, we tend to lose one in clusters. And something else, I don't know, you may have noticed it, you might not. We were brilliant for losing a wicket just before or after lunch. We were superb for it. So if anything, that's probably the thing to look at for Warwickshire, which is probably why they've made that Alex Davis signing. That'll help shore up the order and, you know, add a little bit more experience to that lineup. It's still a fairly youthful lineup with not too many first-class caps. You know, Rob Yates is probably one of the senior members of that side now, and he's not played too much first-class cricket compared to, if you look at Somerset's side, Tom Abel played loads of first-class cricket. Craig Overton's played loads of first-class cricket. So, yeah, losing wickets in clusters and at breaks are probably something that Warwickshire need to be careful of. But, yeah, I don't think they're in too bad of a position. We like you say, we didn't score 400 once last year, but we won the championship.
And that is all that matters. And again, that really, every single time it's mentioned, a nice bright grin appears on the face of Aaron Viles. But,
I think that's something that we did really, really well, you know. I think when you as a side, you don't feel like you've got enough runs. You know, we got 300 a few times, like top end of 200s. But when you feel like you've not got enough runs, I feel like it makes you fight a little bit harder. And if you look at every single win we had, it was in the last session of the last day, other than when we won. No, that was still in the last session, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So every single win we had was in the last session of the last day. So what we did really well was we managed to stay in the game. And by staying in the game, we then went on to win it. So that first win we had, Trent Bridge away, where Brezzin and Stoney had that partnership and won us the game, we took it deep and we stayed in the game, stayed in the fight. and that's where we won the game. So every win we had, we managed to stop the bleeding, stop stop that hemorrhage going on, and stay in the fight and go on and win the game.
Absolutely. And to the boys' credit, they did exactly that all the way up until the final game of the season. But Tomo, before we move on to our 10th and final team of these two preview shows, which will of course detail Yorkshire's chances in this year's championship, Warwickshire's player to watch, and in fact I'm going to select this one because he's worked so hard over the off-season. And to be honest, for anybody who's watched the Bears pre-season matches, you'll see just how much work he's put in. And that is, of course, Dom Sibley. You mentioned beforehand about Rory Burns having that point to prove. Dom Sibley, I think, also has a massive point to prove.
Yeah,
as many people know, I wasn't too happy when Dom got dropped from England, especially not after being the Wisden Cricketer of the Year in 2020. And he did provide some excellent match-winning knocks against the likes of South Africa, the West Indies, Sri Lanka in the 87 on day one against India in tough conditions in Chennai. But this off-season, he didn't go on the Australia tour with the Lions. He opted instead to stay at the Edgbaston Nets and work on his technique. And there have been three games so far, Kent, Notts, and today we're playing Worcestershire. I've been watching Dom Sibley's footwork like an absolute hawk. And against both spin and seam, he looks like a completely different player. He is a man on a mission, which is great news for us as Warwickshire fans, but also for England fans as well. He does look a lot more technically correct. Tomo, would you agree with that analysis, or do you see it as someone else being the best player to watch out for in this year's championship?
Yeah, it's clear Sibbo's been working hard with Frosty. I don't think Frosty will have a shoulder left, to be honest. Bless him. You know, Sibbo's worked really, really hard with Jack over the winter, and I really, really hope he gets the rewards over the summer. I'm going to pluck a different name out, and I don't know whether I'm jumping the gun, but I reckon Dan Mosley could actually be a really dark horse for this championship this year. You know, obviously he missed out last season through injury and through not being selected, but I think if Dan gets his opportunity, then he's really, really not far away from the success we saw from Rob Yates last year. Dan and Rob are very, very similar players, albeit that Dan bats middle order and Rob's top order, but they're both left-handers and they both bowl right arm off spin. So if Dan does get the opportunity, don't be surprised if he does really well and goes on and scores big, big runs. I think it's either Dom, Rob or Dan for the player to watch out for. Obviously, we all know the talent of Liam Norwell, and I've got no doubt he'll repeat his successes of 2021.
Absolutely. Fingers crossed, Warwickshire fans, that the boys can get the job done all over again. That'd be quite incredible, wouldn't it? Be like 94-95 all over again. But obviously, only time will tell. So, Tomo, moving on then from the West Midlands, we now go up to the north of England for our 10th and final team of this year's preview show, which is Yorkshire County Cricket Club. And as we all know, it's been well documented, this off-season for Yorkshire has been the most turbulent in the club's history. It really has been an off-season unlike any other for all the wrong reasons. But heading into this year's championship, Tomo, what do you see the club achieving? Do you see them actually making a challenge for the title? Or do you think that all of that off-season trouble and the issues surrounding the club at the moment, all the instability as well, of which I can read out in due course, do you think that may play against them heading into this year's championship?
Yeah, it'll certainly be on their minds. And I think it'll be tough to get away from for a while. There's been no sort of signings through the winter just because of all the stuff that's come out there. Every single member of coaching staff got released, unfortunately, from the club. So they've got a full new makeup. And actually, I can see them having a rough start to the season. But then actually, Otis Gibson is a fantastic coach. And I can see that rough start becoming more and more sculpted towards the end of the season, where where I feel like they might put a few wins in a string together. That's just how I see it playing out. Obviously, they've not added any signings or anything like that, but I don't actually think they're a bad side. They've got Matthew Fisher, who's just made his Test match debut, took a wicket with the second ball in Test match cricket. And, you know, they've got players who started to make a real impact last year. I think the player to watch out for will be Harry Brook again. Obviously, he started to set the world alight last season and show what he's really, really capable of. And they've got the likes of Will Frayne and George Hill. So they've got plenty of youth coming through. I think it's an exciting time for Yorkshire to rebuild and work out what they want to do as a club. You know, that they will have Bairstow and Root available, I would imagine, for the first few games before any sort of Test match cricket, especially with what's happening with England Red Bull cricket at the minute. You know, I think ECB are going to want to get players playing Red Bull cricket and want to get players practicing. So, yeah, they're two standout players for me will be Harry Brook and Jordan Thompson, who offers loads.
He does indeed. We've had Jordan on the podcast as well. Absolutely stand-up bloke and a very, very talented all-rounder indeed. And before I mention the weaknesses, or at least my perception of the club's weaknesses heading into this summer, we'll start with the strengths. And first and foremost, that bowling attack is absolutely sensational. In fact, in 2021, 10 of Yorkshire's 13 bowling options had a bowling average of under 34. That's very, very impressive, to say the least. And as a unit, they took a total of 216 wickets between themselves. So when you look on paper with the likes of Thompson, with the likes of Patterson and Code and Don Best, for example, Matt Fisher is another one, of course, they do have a very, very strong bowling attack. But, and I'm not sure whether or not the club have disclosed this or not just yet, but it was reported in The Cricketer, Duane Olivier might be on his way out of the club. According to George Dobell, according to his reports, they are thinking of releasing him from his contract. So on the eve of the season, that could be quite a big loss. Duane does offer something different. He's more of an enforcer in that Yorkshire bowling attack. Tomo, where do you see the other strengths in Yorkshire heading into this summer? Because they do also have some good batting options, don't they? With the likes of Ruth and Adam Lythe.
Yeah, they do. You know, Adam Lythe's one of the most experienced county cricketers at the minute. His record speaks for itself, really. He's represented England and he's a super talented left-hander at the top of the order. So, obviously, they had George Hill opening alongside him last season. And George can learn loads from Adam, I guess. I think if George keeps working at his game, hopefully he will have done through the winter. I've got no doubt he will have done. Then, you know, that could turn into a very fruitful opening partnership for Yorkshire. So, again, if they manage to get those top order runs that I've banged on about, it could be the making of a very, very strong Red Bull side. You know, you talk about that bowling attack being the real threat for Yorkshire, and I completely agree. I think it is. So if Yorkshire can start consistently making some good runs with Harry Brook batting at 3 or 4, I don't think they're in a terrible spot by any means.
Well, no, they aren't. They definitely have got some very, very good options at their disposal heading into this year's championship. But on the flip side, away from the strengths, we have to talk about the weaknesses. And when we do talk about Yorkshire, obviously the off-field stuff in the wake of the Azeem Rafiq inquiry is massive. I mean, you have to talk about it as part and parcel of the analysis. So much has happened. If you just look at some of the issues, for example, you've got all the internal bickering at the club right now, which is being reported on a day-to-day basis. They still haven't got a concrete structure in terms of that top board heading into this summer. In addition to that, they've had a shortened pre-season as a result of those staff being laid off. Gary Balance might be released. Duane Olivier is potentially going to be released as well. You've got a brand new director of cricket in Darren Goff. You've got a brand new head coach, Notis Gibson. Completely brand new coaching setup. And Tomo, you mentioned it earlier about them having a rough start to the season. I would completely agree with that. I think it's going to be very, very tough for Yorkshire to start this season normally with all of those events and circumstances going on around them. My only problem is that I could actually see them getting relegated. And that might come across as a bit of a surprise, But with all of that going on, if the club does have a bad start to the summer, can they bounce back? Especially if the likes of Roots and Bairstow are going off to play for England, do they have the personnel to bounce back and, you know, reinvigorate a season after a poor start? Obviously, that's all in theory. They could come out and win the first three games. We don't know. That's the beauty of cricket. But yeah, do you think that's going to be a massive issue for the club heading into the summer?
I think you make a good point. You know, if Yorkshire lose the first two games, it might be sort of like, oh no, here we go, and they start on that downward spiral and struggle to come back up. I mean, I very much doubt that it will get to that. There's some very experienced heads in that dressing room, and there's some very, very talented cricketers. And I think Yorkshire, this season in particular, I think Yorkshire would define success as finishing mid to top table rather than winning the championship. I don't think winning the championship is in their immediate goals. I for one wouldn't think it would be realistic to expect Yorkshire to win the championship this season, having not had a pre-season, having not made any signings through the winter. That said, there is opportunity for them to go and do so. They have the talent, they have the players, so there's nothing stopping them. But yeah, I think success for Yorkshire would be defined as a mid to top table finish.
I'd agree with that, Tomo, to be honest. But again, I do just worry about Yorkshire. I really do. I think if they were to have, and it is a massive if, of course, this is all hypothetical, but if things don't go to plan and things do go in that downward spiral, I just think, given everything going on at the club, it would be tremendously difficult to stop that rot. But we'll have to wait and see. This is the beauty of the County Championship, isn't it? The fact that all 10 of these sides have got a genuine chance of winning the title this year. There is no such thing as a weak County Championship side. And for all of the discourse and the debate and the discussions about English Red Bull cricket at the moment in the Test arena, it does have to be said that the quality of county cricket in the last few seasons has been excellent to watch from a fan's perspective. We've had some really tight finishes, some excellent ends of the season. Think of this year with Warwickshire versus Somerset. Of course, Essex versus Somerset in 2019. Toby Rowland-Jones and the hat-trick in 2016 to win it for Middlesex. Brilliant game of cricket. Amazing game of cricket. So as much as county cricket does have its shortcomings and its issues, which again, in my view, do need to be rectified on a long-term and sustainable basis, the actual products, at least in my view, and you can say it's very biased as the host of the County Cricket podcast, the actual product from a fan's perspective is excellent. And again, I hammer this home every single episode. If you are in the area, let's say you are in Birmingham, or let's say you're in Northampton, or you're down in the West Country, in Taunton, and you want to go and watch a game of cricket, buy your ticket and go and support a local county. Because honestly, I think this year's championship, from 1 to 10, divisions 1 and 2, are going to be absolutely fantastic to watch. You think of the domestic players. We're going to have the likes of Anderson for Lancs, Broad for Notts. We could potentially have Chris Wokes for Warwickshire as well. Fingers crossed that we do, as Bears fans. But in addition to those quality international names, you've also got the overseas superstars. We've got Mohammed Rizwan and Pujara for Sussex. We've got the likes of Hassan Ali. I like Hassan Ali, and I'm glad that he's back in county cricket for Lancs. That's going to be fantastic. But you've got those guys, and you've got so many fantastic options in the circuit this summer. I think it's going to be a very, very memorable county championship indeed heading into the summer of 2022. But Tomo, that is basically it, to be honest, for today's preview show, or should say part two of the preview show. Before we do say our final goodbyes, mate, for the recording, one final question, and I'm not going to answer this. Predictions. Who do you think is going to win the title?
What if I get this right? Surely, if I get this right, you replay this moment in your review show, surely.
Absolutely. We'll have it on the end of season County Cricket Podcast Awards, Tomo. We'll rename the show in your honour as well. If you get this correct, you have my word. We'll call ourselves the James Thompson Podcast for the end of season awards.
Okay.
Pressure now, isn't there?
Notts will win Division 2. And, do I say it? I've got two counties for Division One, and I don't know which one. Somerset will win Division One.
That is bold. Tomo, to be honest, that will be clipped anyway, because if Somerset do finally get it done, that'll be absolutely incredible for the club. So fingers crossed, obviously, Somerset fans, that Tomo's prediction does come true. I did ask for a prediction. I suppose I have to give one now, don't I? Which I didn't want to do, but prediction, I've got to stay with my home county. I think we're going to go back to back. I'm going to go with Warwickshire County Cricket Club.
I was going to say the Bears. I think it's Somerset or the Bears.
Well, this is the thing. I have to remain constant because I said the Bears for the Bob Willis Trophy. I said the Bears for last year's championship. Let's keep the tradition going. So I'll say the Bears again for this season and probably for the rest of eternity here on the County Cricket Podcast. And Division 2, it's a tough one for me. I've got it between Nottinghamshire and Durham because I think Durham's team attack could be potentially season-changing.
Yeah, it could. Well, it's nuts for me. I'm sorry. It's just nuts.
I'm going to shock the world. I'm going to go with my hearts. I'm going to go Durham. Big up the North East. Yes, absolutely. I think Chris Rushworth, Salisbury, potentially Mark Wood, Bryden Cast, Ben Rain, Matty Potts as well, along with the likes of Alex Lees up at the top of the order with David Benningham and Keegan Peterson. I'll go Durham. So Warwickshire and Durham for Aaron. And Tomo, you're going to go with Somerset and Notts. Interesting.
Watch us both be wrong.
Yeah. Watch Division 1 get won by Surrey and Division 2 get won by... To be honest, Division 2's up for grabs as well, isn't it? Goodness me. But yes, we'll have to wait and see, won't we, Tomo? Very cliche, very much an adage to end today's podcast, but only time will tell. The 2022 season is upon us, and these are very, very exciting times indeed. But James, that is basically it for today's recording of TCCP. Before we say our final goodbyes for the recording, mate, do you have anything to plug or promote? Your social media channels, websites, your coaching stuff, anything like that?
Yeah, nothing really. I've just started, for anyone that's interested in analysis or what I'm doing in terms of coaching or cricket or anyone that's a badger, really. I mean, you probably are if you're listening to this, can't lie.
Yeah.
Instagram, JT_analysis_coaching. I'm putting videos up there about what I do with all the teams I work for. There was a video diary up there about my time in Bangladesh and all that sort of stuff. So if you like cricket, hopefully it helps you out. And especially if you're looking to get into the world of analysis and into the world of coaching, then drop me a line and I'll gladly try and help you out.
Absolutely. Obviously, Tomo, I'll echo that. And we will, of course, be leaving the links to those in the description below. As someone who already follows the page, well worth it. So listeners, if you want to go and follow Tomo, JT_analysis_coaching, feel free to do that at your own discretion. But James, that is basically it for today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast. All that's left for me to say, of course, is thank you very much for coming back on for what is the trilogy. I think the first person to appear three times on the podcast. So that's something, again, to add to the accolades. Put that on your CV.
Thanks for having me, mate. It's been a pleasure.
Now, the pleasure's all ours, honestly, Tomo. And of course, always welcome back here on the County Cricket Podcast. But that is it from us two here at TCCP for today's recording. To all of you wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.